that Hodge has inside of him.
Araghchi going up for three. Often goes straight through the straight down the middle and carves up the defense rather than going for long range shots. On that occasion, doesn't hit the target. The ball comes out. Hodge slowing things down, being the smart guy with the ball in his hands.
Yeah, he's going to let some seconds come off this clock with five to go on the shot clock. Mahmoud, nice pass, swing to the corner.
Oh, look at that. They are jumping with joy. I think they know that, well, there's so much damage that's been done now in the since they took the lead, that they're in a commanding position there. That is sublime stuff there from this Zamalek team.
Look at the bench go crazy as Hussein knocks down the three. Wow, look at the jubilation and celebration, the pointing to the sky and the score. What a great job this group of guys are doing here late in this fourth quarter, Robbie.
Going quite well, isn't it? We know what Zamalek is all about. Founded in 1911, of course, it's a multi-sports club. They've won the Egyptian Super League on 15 occasions, of course. And the 1992 winners of the African Club Championship, a FIBA event, of course, as we know, as Usher mentioned. And runners-up in 75, 76, 98. Third place in 72, 83. So we know, you know, what they are, basketball royalty. But they haven't managed to get themselves a major continental crown for a long time. And that's why it's really important to actually see this now and allow them to freely express themselves here at the Basketball Africa League.
Yeah, and that will end today. I mean, virtually impossible to close this lead with 1:23 to go in the final quarter. Down 15.
There's a chance for Crawford, just comes off the metal, picks up once again. Oh, Hesham gives the ball back to Gayaza, comes back out to Ben Romdan. Need to use that time intelligently. Ball comes back out, that's a layup attempt, fallen back into the hands of Ben Romdan, decides to go out wide this time. There's Abada for three off the metal. It's been picked up by Araghchi, goes for the layup this time. And Ben Romdan, finally, with the rebound. Not much defensive work going on there, probably waiting patiently because we're now down to 52 seconds.
Yeah, no sense in making a silly foul, but perhaps a silly travel. Surprised there, Junior Milano didn't kick that out. But nevertheless, likely too many points here for Monastir to have to try to make up in 47 seconds.
Ben Romdan with the three-point attempt. Missing out, US Monastir kind of know that it's all over now. It's like a lull in activity. And they're already celebrating Zamalek. You can see this, Mahmoud. This is just going to be using up the time, of course. They're in no rush, are they? Shot clock down to five. We'll see a shot coming in, of course, at one point. There's Yasser, the youngster, unable to get his two on that occasion.
It's called for an offensive foul there. No more shot clock. How about that?
Yeah, that's Hesham, the three-pointer from Hesham, isn't it?
Yeah, key Egyptian League player, helped him qualify. I mean, national team player. This guy here is a champion. Both teams are champion in their own way, but for the BAL, the inaugural title looks like it'll be going to Zamalek. What a job they've done. You can feel the energy and the excitement in the building, Robbie.
Oh, this is just extraordinary, isn't it? You know, and they bowed down to Zamalek to say, you know, we know that we've lost here. You're the better team on the day. And there they are. This is the end of this final. Zamalek are the new Kings of Africa, winning this Basketball Africa League here in Kigali, Rwanda. The inaugural event, an extraordinary campaign from both teams, from all of the teams involved. But you had to have one winner, and Coach Chulbi of Catalonia in Spain leading his boys, and that 18-year-old youngster, Mohab Yasser, celebrating along with all of the veterans, and a great team effort there. It's a memorable moment. This is history in the making, what we're seeing.
Woo! Oh my goodness, oh my goodness, what a final. Zamalek shocks the world. And shocks the Tunisians.
Yeah, man. Unexpected from a lot of talent, a lot of team, a lot of people, you know, from the performance from the Tunisian team throughout the season.
Oh my, sensational stuff. One of a kind, folks. I knew they would start slow. I knew they would let gain momentum. I knew they had the right toolbox with them. They were out on a mission to dismantle the most about kind the market, the most overpriced car. They stole the Tunisian car gearbox. They stole the Tunisian car gearbox. They unscrewed the tires. The car stalled when needed. Egyptian pharaohs are resurrected. They are celebrating in the streets of Zamalek and Alexandria, Egypt. Tunis, Tunisia, good night.
Man,
that's
I love
a good
it.
One,
I love
man.
It. I love it. Let's not forget, score 76, Zamalek 63, Monastir 13 point win. The score is not really indicative of how the game was going. The game was very, very close up until 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Man, there's so many different things. You know, we can attribute it to Zamalek really having the grit to really, you know, to push through. We can attribute some of it as the U.S. Monastir side not really playing the style of basketball that we're used to seeing them play in this tournament. Coaching is another key. I'm gonna let it go. I'll let it swing around.
There's too much going on right now.
It's too much. I'm gonna let
Sunny side of sports. We want to hear your side of the sport, right. Sunny. How did we got here, Sunny?
Sunny, talk to us.
Yes, sporty greetings, everybody. Nothing but net, Jack. Nothing but net, Prince and Muckbill. Yeah, the bowmen of Zamalek shooting an arrow right through the heart of Monastir. I've got to give credit to their grit, their defense. Yes. I think their defense really won the game for them, won the first Basketball Africa League trophy. They tipped a lot of passes. They disrupted Monastir's previously free-flowing offense. They, Monastir looked like a completely different team out there. Nice. because of Zamalek's defense. And, I thought they played great. Certainly deserving champions of this inaugural tournament. So kudos to Zamalek.
Yeah, so Sunny, nobody really played them defensively like that throughout the season in this tournament. We have Amadou Galofar stating some speech. We would like to give that to our audience.
Absolutely. We will be back on.
His Excellency Paul Kagame for a wonderful hospitality. It is my honor to present the championship trophy and the Hakeem Olajuwon Most Valuable Player Awards. L'Union Sportive de Monastir made their fans and country proud. But today, Zamalek is taking the trophy to Cairo. Congratulations. The 2021 Basketball Africa League champions. And now, to present the 2021 Hakeem Olajuwon BAL Most Valuable Player. He averaged 15 points per game, 6 assists, and 5 rebounds. He had a dominant performance throughout these finals. From Zamalek, our MVP, our historic first MVP of the BAL, Walter Hodge.
horse of the league. You put up big numbers, and with your performance tonight, you led your team to victory. What drove you to lead the team?
For me, my teammates, you know, did everything for us. Everybody showed character for our team. We was down at the beginning, but I think, you know, we did a great job. So I dedicate this trophy for my coach, my trainers, and all my team.
As you let that sink in, you're the first ever BAL MVP. What crosses your mind?
For me, it's a lot. You know, I got a lot of work, and my teammates helped me a lot. It means a lot. You know, this is the first time that this league is going to be here, and it's going to be here for a long time. I'm a specialist.
Thank you very much, Walter.
Thank you. Mamba's out.
Captain,
Oh my goodness, the 2021 champions of the BAL, Zamalek. Wow, with their Hakeem Olajuwon MVP award, Walter Hodge, the Florida Gator, two-time back-to-back champion, 06-07. He has that championship DNA in him, and he helped and assisted with this win with his leadership as a floor general for the Zamalek side. Very, very well deserved.
Man, this is very well. This is so exciting, man. Mukbilo, Prince, and Sunny Side of Sport. I'm seeing Africa winning big by the Egyptian team really lifting this tremendous first trophy for the Africa Basketball League. I'm really seeing that the emotion in front of the crowd and in front of the basketball in Africa, which has been broadcasted by VOA on 60 shows on as we're speaking right now, more than 60 shows and several languages in Wolof and French and Bambara and English and Kuriondia and Portuguese. Ooh. And it's been really a tremendous moment. And this is Africa, Mukbi, like I say, this is Africa, a victory for Africa. We see the team that we call it Maghreb throughout the tournament,
yeah.
But we see a very diverse team right now in front of us, which have recorded their best players, which is now from Egypt, and we really see that talent and throughout the continent. I will just say Africa won for all, and the first time. It was a very nice picture for the Mamadou Galofal. And let's talk about the game a little bit. How did we get here with this Zamalek team and Prince and Sonny?
Well, Chuck, I know Zamalek is from North Africa, but Muckville, talk about the sub-Saharan influence on that Zamalek team and what they meant to this victory today.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you have Diabate from Ivory Coast. You have two Nigerian-American players in Olanu and Fukuade. So definitely there's the presence is there. And then you have the honorary African as well, the MVP Walter Hodge, you know.
Right.
You know, Puerto Rican-American. Man, this is just such. It was such an exciting game from the very start till the end. This Zamalek side really has shown us everything that you needed to do in order to topple the Tunisian Titans, and they really came to play today.
Hide your face, folks. I like how the language is changing, eh?
I'm happy. So, I'm happy the victory.
U.S. Monastir to Africa wins now, eh? Is not how you were talking about.
No.
The start of the match.
No, press is a good basketball game. At the end of the day, this is a very good basketball game. And it's a game of surprise, Prince. You know, we didn't see none of this team face each other throughout the tournament. And they're both from a very big winner from the group in this tournament, and which really give you people a benefit of doubt, I can call it, because you haven't seen anything much from that team, and for they didn't bring it to a team like him. Like, we never seen a team that play U.S. Monster and defensively like that and hold them to a position game like that, because most of the time if they play you, they, it's not a position game. It's pretty much about how they gonna murder you in the third quarter, you know. But we've seen that a team that Zamalek really did some switch turnaround in the first quarter and the second quarter to bring some bigs, and it just turned the 11-point lead all the way to the fourth quarter in the favor of the Zamalek team. And that's a very enjoyable, beautiful basketball. I don't care who you're rooting for in this game right now, but if you take a look at this game, you really see that this Zamalek team deserve this win, victory, and it can only go right with the MVP trophy and this first trophy they're really holding right now.
Well, Chuck, we have to give credit where credit is due, and Prince Nesta, 2 for 2.
Absolutely. I forgot to mention that. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, Sonny.
Petro de Luanda winning the third place game, and he picked Zamalek to win the final.
I totally forgot to mention that,
Prince. So I'll give you that.
Yeah, shout out. No, listen. Hold on.
Prince Nesta has earned a siesta.
Okay, there we go. Shout out to Prince. Hold on. Let's hold our horses right now. Because you know me, I remember everything. Prince, if you recall, when we were talking during the group stages and the quarterfinals were beginning, hold on now. Our listeners will attest to this. What you said, I said, hey, AFP has the potential to beat the Zamalek side. Why? Because they are, you know, I said, do not let your ranking dictate whether or not this team will go. You told me that in Africa, the number one seed always wins. And today they did not. So that means that I have a little bit of, you know, I brought that up to our viewers because
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh,
Shaggy can attest to that.
Oh, man.
I'm hearing this for the first time.
You know? Man, this is.
I don't know what you're talking about. My team was.
Yeah. I love it, Prince. I'll give it to you, man, this time. You know, I'll let you off the hook just this time, man.
This whole time. I haven't been nothing but net from Prince, man. I'm telling
nothing
you.
Nothing but the net,
Prince. Like, we really appreciate your expertise. You and Sunny Side of Sports.
I know what's gonna happen in your life up next, so you better.
I better be careful. It was tremendous prediction, Prince. You've seen a lot of stuff from this team, Zamalek, and that really carry over for them. And they did a tremendous job, like hands down. Even for the Tunisian team, we'll tell you that hands down for the performance.
They played a stellar game. They played a near perfect game in order to get this. But can we talk about the coaching discrepancy? You know, when it comes to high level games, coaching is so necessary. And I feel as though, you know, the Zamalek coach, he completely outcoached the Monastir side. Like, it was not even close. Right when he needed to, he brought in the bigs in Alano and Fukwai
in the right moments,
yes. Right? And then you look at on the Monastir side, the coach had Arakji, arguably the most unstoppable player, and he had him out for 5 or 6 minutes in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
What was going on, guys?
Without Nestor, there's no fiesta.
Without Arakji,
without Arakji, there was no fiesta for this team. I'm telling you, like, that was a very bad position from the coaching staff for doing that, because you can see the frustration in Arakji in the third quarter when they was not making shot. That you can see that with any players, that's the best player on the team. I can call him the best player on this team right now.
Yeah.
And you can see the frustration. But if you don't know how to control your emotion against the coaches, against your teammate, it will cost you big. And we saw that with team like Mozambique, right?
Right.
And at the end of the game, Kabanga was feeling very comfortable. He didn't control his emotion. He caused them to lose
that
the game.
Technical.
It was a 2-point game, 1-point, 2-point game. Yes. And he started feeling comfortable with the game, and it cost them big.
Right.
And we saw the same thing with that. If I know the coach, the look on his face, not a coach that play with players.
Right.
You know, if you're in this position, you have to really be a coachable. Like, you have to be a player coach.
A player's coach, absolutely.
A player's coach and look and put yourself in player's shoes.
Right.
And not just on, like, that right. hurt me because I know basketball, bro.
Right, right.
And you know it as well. Yeah, Sonny knows. We saw that they're missing the best player on the court. Nobody can stop him in both ends of the court. He killed him in the game, you know. And you see Diabate competing and making three.
Right.
And which is very tremendous for Ivory Coast team, you know. It was tremendous.
No, absolutely. What Sheck is saying is so key, right? When you have a coach that's willing to sabotage, really, in my eyes, right, sabotage the entire game because of having a quarrel with a player or not understanding how to put the player in. And yet, let's put him back in the game. Let us win this game, and then we could talk about it afterwards.
Afterwards.
Right?
That's like, what Popovich would do.
That's what you have to do if you are really are putting the team first. But sometimes egos, you know, egos clash. And some coaches that are not players' coaches will not allow a player to talk to them in a certain manner. But he should have understood it came from a place of wanting to win. Arakji looks like, to me, he's a winner.
He's
like,
a winner.
The guy, he's going to have a big, big, big future. I really see the scouts looking at him as one of the key players from this tournament.
The Lebanese players, I want to add that to you before I move you over to Sonny and Prince. And the good things about this Lebanese best players is he have a crazy experience. He's been to Maverick Dallas NBA Summer League 2019. Mm-hmm. So he's right there. He's right at the spot to make history and the first players to go to the NBA from this league. And I got the feelings right now that it could easily happen.
Yeah.
But he didn't get the chance to win the championship. But he still got a shot because he had a tremendous performance.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's a great point by both Chek and Muckville. Because I know Chek talked just a day or so ago about, you know, you have to really keep your emotions in check during these big games. And yeah, you're right, Muckville. It sounds like the Tunisian coach Munir Ben Sliman. I hope I got his name correct, but he let his emotions and ego get the better of him, and it was costly decision. Quick note: we heard Amadou Gallo fall. Present the first ever Basketball Africa League MVP trophy to Walter Hodge. Really nice touch naming that trophy
after Hakeem the Dream.
The Dream,
right? I loved it. As soon as I heard it, I was like, man, this is so memorable.
Relief,
this felt so good to hear Hakeem Olajuwon, who's such a monster when it comes to the African game, you know, and what he was able to do leading the Houston Rockets to two championships in the 90s. That was amazing. A great touch.
Yeah, it was a great touch.
I totally agree. And, you know, back to, you know, the coach and stuff. You know, in Africa, you're supposed to listen to your elders. So there's also culture at play here.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, Cenk has played in Africa. Cenk can tell you this. The coach always has the last say. You know what the coach says. And I've seen a lot of, even, you know, I've seen a lot of coaches, you know, frustrate some of the best players. Why? Because I think the coaches also are super experienced. They know your emotions. They know when they put you in. How about, let's say, for instance, if while Arax you'd have gone in and, you know, things wouldn't have turned out well, you'd have still blamed the coach, you know?
No,
at this point in time, the coach took him out. You're blaming the coach, you know? And so I think sometimes the coach has more details than we do. You know, we are speaking from the studio, but the coach is there with the players all the time. He knows when to put them and stuff like that.
Prince,
so it's so easy for us to speak from the armchair, sort of, you know, critic, armchair critic. I call us armchair
critics. Yeah, no.
But, you know,
I hear you, but I would have to have a difference of opinion on this one just because, you know, when you look at this side, right, if we were talking about purely skill, Arakji would not be coming off of the bench. He would be starting because he is a better guard than Abada. But the thing is, Abada is the Tunisian national point guard. So out of national pride, he has to play his players. So what I'm saying is, if you have a coach that's not already putting his team in the best position to win,
Lebanese.
Right, from that standpoint, he's not going to listen to a Lebanese player.
How do you guys know that? You know, you are speaking like from the point of view, like, okay, he's Tunisian, that's why he's playing.
No,
but how do
Prince, you know, but Prince, you've been invited to NBA Summer League
because of his talent from Lebanon.
No,
Arakji has been coming from the bench since the first game.
Right, but
this is not the first time that he's coming off of the bench.
I hear
so
that.
They have a plan.
No. But no, but Prince, but what we're saying is if he just came back from the summer league in the NBA and Abada has not, that shows you the skill level between the two players is not the same.
Yeah, so, and also if he come off the bench and every day game is different.
Right.
We saw he had the high hands in this game.
Every shot he went for.
I can say he had 6-7, 6-for-7 from what I see in the game right now. He got high hands, you know. As a coach, you make a decision how to go with somebody like that in his game situation. He had high hands, and he's right there. Like, he's ready to go, you know. And we didn't have that. He's criticized. Right. Basketball is all about the opinion and stuff like that.
Hold on, last point. What stood out for you in this tournament?
Hey, if I can make one quick point about Zamalek, I got to give credit to their bench players, Ilanu, Diabate. They both delivered. Fakwade had a big game. I feel like Zamalek's bench players outplayed Monastir. And, of course, he had that young player, Mohab Yasser.
Yep.
I think going to get a good look from NBA.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Sonny, just to harp back on that one last point, Prince, the Araghchi played 20 minutes and he had 13 points. He was 5-for-11, right? We had Omar Abada also with 13 points, but he was 3-for-12 and he played an additional 15 minutes. So what I'm saying is, just if we're just looking at pure statistics and what we have seen throughout the tournament, a longer time with Araghchi with the ball in his hands would have been better for Monastir, especially because nothing was going on when he was off.
But you also have to notice that you are facing a tough team. Zamalek, remember, is the team that took out one of the favorites in the tournament,
right?
You know, Petro from Luanda, Angola. And so this is a team that is efficient in all departments. And I remember very well he was taken out because, the Zamalek defense was really playing a tight game. And so not working out for the whole team, not individual players. And so when the coach takes out one player, because you're the people who've been saying at the same time, oh, they play as a team,
yeah,
or they know each other well. You know, even if you take one player out, they have the bench power. How come you don't support the coach when their bench power comes in? How come you don't support the coach at the same point that you've been talking about?
Because the numbers show it. He was still the most efficient guard. 5-for-11 means that he's doing a lot better than the 3-for-12 guy. So even if you feel as though you have to switch him up, I would have switched out Abada. Numbers don't lie. I would switch out Abada. So, you know, we can say the coach knows this and knows that, but all we can see is from the outside looking in, we don't know the personal relationships within the team dynamic, but he is not a player that is from the original cast, right? Right, so he's not from the original cast, so we understand that. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. The tournament in totality, the best team won.
Yeah.
The tournament in totality was a great start for this for the continent.
I really enjoyed it. Everybody that been part of this tournament really enjoyed it, and we're gonna give a great shout out to everybody that been working for this Basketball Africa League on the behalf of VOA and all our language service and all our super managers, and including Scott Cern for the Africa division, who is really putting a lot of effort with his assistant Sahar, and it's a hope, and with a lot of people in the African division team that have really worked tirelessly. Desk and our executive producer for the Africa division,
absolutely,
on the name of Voice of America and USA GM, and we really put a lot of effort in it. It's been over 60 shows produced in several languages on the behalf of Voice of America.
Absolutely, and we had our main man, our favorite tech. Our favorite tech, Nikki, you know, he's been with us the entire time, really has done a stellar job. He is enjoying himself, and he enjoyed the tournament as well, just as much as us, giving us insight on what we were, you know, what we didn't see as well. So,
Sonny, we'll give you work.
Kudos to you guys. You know, my favorite moment about the tournament, honestly, my favorite moment was hearing you guys talk Basketball Africa League. Prince, Tech,
Muckfield, you guys did a great job. Nothing but net.
Sonny, we appreciate you so much. Like you mentioned, this has been an honor. It was an amazing tournament to cover. Myself, Muckfield Yabro, Sheck Tierro, Prince Nesta.
We will also thank you, all our colleagues that have been working from home, inside home, and conducting calls for us, and our supervisor, all the division chief,
absolutely,
who have really tirelessly worked in the meetings every day about scheduling this first historical Basketball Africa League to launch it on the first time at VOA.
Absolutely. And final shout out to Sonny Young. And we will see you all. And thank you. Have a great one.
This is the Voice of America, and you are listening to Nightline Africa. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington. Coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa Sports with Douglas Mpuga, and that will be followed by a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs, and music from our African collection. But first, Zimbabwe has been dealing with the shortage of COVID-19 vaccine for over a week now. The government promised to inoculate at least 60% of the country's estimated 14 million by year's end to achieve herd immunity. For VOA Colombo's Mavunga reports from the Zimbabwean capital, Harare.
This vaccination is free for every Zimbabwean.
That is a radio advertisement urging Zimbabweans to get vaccinated against COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus. But a visit to Wilkins Hospital, the country's main vaccination center, shows that people are being turned away. One of them is a 28-year-old man who chose to be identified by his middle name, Farai.
I had a struggle on Monday when I wanted to get my second dose of the Sinovac COVID-19 vaccine. So when I wanted to take the second one, I couldn't access it because there were a lot of people at Wilkins. So I thought of going to a polyclinic. They said they had ran out of vaccines. From there, I went to Parinya to a group of hospitals. I was also told that they ran out of vaccines. I also saw a lot of people who were turned away, especially those who wanted to get their first doses.
Another one turned away is a 26-year-old woman who preferred to be identified as Mariam.
I went to Parenyatko Hospital on Monday in Harare Hospital, and I was told they don't have vaccinations for first doses. I intended to have my first dose on that day. They also said they were not sure when they would have the vaccines.
Since February, Zimbabwe has received batches of COVID-19 vaccine from China, Russia, and India. Zimbabwean officials refused to comment on the shortages. Zimbabwe Information Minister Monica Mchangwa this week said the government was still on course to achieve the required herd immunity in order to control the spread of the global pandemic.
Regarding vaccine procurement, the public is informed that delivery of the 500,000 Sinopharm vaccine doses, which were ordered from China, is expected to arrive in the country this June 2021.
Zimbabwe is not alone in dealing with the vaccine shortages. This week, Dr. Machidiso Moeti, the World Health Organization's regional director for Africa, said there was a need for a rapid rollout of vaccine on the continent to contain a potential third wave of COVID-19.
At a minimum, Africa needs at least 20 million AstraZeneca vaccines by mid-July to deliver second doses to everyone who received their first shots. Africa needs vaccines now. Any pause in our vaccination campaigns will lead to lost lives and lost hope. Another 200 million doses are needed so that the continent can vaccinate 10% of its population by September this year.
Zimbabwe has 38,854 confirmed coronavirus infections and 1,592 deaths, according to Johns Hopkins University, which tracks the global outbreak. As of Friday, just under 650,000 Zimbabweans had received their first dose of vaccine, and about 305,000 had received their second shots. Columbus Mafungam for VOA News, Harare.
World Menstrual Health Day on May 28 was observed in Cameroon, with NGOs and girls asking the government to either subsidize sanitary pads or provide them for free, as they already do with condoms. For VOA, Moki Edward Kenzeka reports from the Cameroonian capital, Yaoundé.
At least 300 school children are gathered at the government school in the southwestern town of Boya on the occasion of this year's World Menstrual Health Day. 15-year-old Karin Zelen tells them in Lamso, a language spoken in Cameroon, that young girls and women continue to suffer from stigma during their menstrual periods, and it's considered taboo to even discuss it. She says it is unethical for students and teachers to mock girls who are seen with drops of blood on their skirts. She says menstruation is a normal vaginal bleeding that occurs as part of a woman's monthly cycle, indicating that her growth is normal. She says people should comfort and assist girls who menstruate by donating sanitary kits or clean pieces of cloth that can be used to absorb menstrual discharge. Zelen said the education of many young girls is undermined by limited access to hygienic menstrual products and poor sanitation infrastructure. Ernestine Urban is founder and coordinator of the NGO Able Women Cameroon that works for the emancipation of women and girls. She says the NGOs invited Zelen because of the ordeal she endured while experiencing her first menses in the countryside.
She didn't even notice that her period had started until blood stains were dripping on her leg, and her mother had to start tearing her dress that she was putting on. Every now and then she would tear off the piece and give her to use, and in the morning again they would try to get to an area where there is water. She would just try to clean herself, and the mother would tear off another piece until they got here. Her first experience was in the bush, and her mother had to sacrifice the dress that she was wearing.
Cameroon's Ministry of Social Affairs reports that many girls do not understand what is happening when they start menstruating. They either go into hiding or start using traditional concoctions proposed by their peers to stop the flow. Mothers often do not discuss menstruation with their daughters. The absence of adequate sanitation facilities in schools and public spaces makes it very difficult for women and girls to manage their periods. Feka Pashibel is coordinator of the NGO Hope for the Vulnerables and Orphans. She says the government should assist young girls with menstrual kits every month. Her NGO distributed menstrual pads to poor children at school.
There are many more women and girls who need sanitary kits than the quantity we actually brought, and it's frustrating. We see women who use rags, papers, who use just anything unhealthy to stop that blood flow at that particular moment. It has made the women and girls to lose their dignity. Our wish is for government to subsidize the cost of these sanitary pads. Why not make them free? If they can give condoms for free, why can't they give sanitary pads too for free, at least to young girls?
The government did not say if it will provide the kits free, but Stella Dobgima of Cameroon's Youth and Family Empowerment Center says there is ongoing education against taboos. She says communities should stop thinking that menstruation is an impurity or a disease. She says communities should stop subjecting women and girls to religious, domestic, or sexual prohibitions, which often lead to further isolation or stigmatization. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
It's now time for Nightline Africa Sports, and for that, let's join Douglas Impuga. Hello, Douglas.
Hi, Peter, and good evening, sports fans. Welcome to Nightline Africa Sports. Let's kick off with football. Egyptian giants Al Ahly are this year's African Super Cup champions. Al Ahly won the trophy on Friday as they beat Renaissance Bekane of Morocco 2-0 to win the African Super Cup. It was a record-extending 7 Super Cup success for Ahly. And now, with 9 titles in the African Champions League, Ahly are the continent's most successful team. This time, they were competing as Champions League winners, while Bekane won last season's Confederation Cup, their first major title. Meanwhile, DR Congo will appeal over Guela Kanga's Gabon eligibility ruling. According to media reports, the DR Congo Football Federation will appeal over Confederation of African Football CAF ruling that Kanga is eligible to play for Gabon. On Wednesday, CAF dismissed DR Congo's claim of identity fraud by Kanga, saying the proof offered by DR Congo was not convincing nor sufficient to establish identity fraud. Now, DR Congo Football Federation intends to launch an appeal with CAF's appeal panel. Gabon reached next year's Africa Cup of Nations after finishing runners-up in Group D of the qualifiers behind group winners the Gambia. DR Congo, who finished third, had hoped a ruling against Kanga would see the Panthers lose 10 points and see the Leopards qualify instead. DR Congo Football Federation insists that Kanga, who plays for Serbian club Red Star Belgrade, was born in the Congolese capital Kinshasa in 1985 and allegedly submitted paperwork to back up their claims. In response, the Gabon Football Federation provided documents to prove that Kanga is eligible to play for Gabon, including a birth certificate for Kanga. DR Congo have only 3 days from the CAF ruling to appeal. In athletics, Nigeria has agreed to step in to host the African Athletics Championships in Lagos. Algeria had been due to host the event but had asked for a postponement due to the ongoing global COVID-19 pandemic. The event will now be held between 23rd and 27th June, which gives athletes the chance to achieve qualifying standards for the Tokyo Olympics ahead of the June 29th deadline. Nigeria Youth and Sports Development Minister Sunday Dare and the President of Confederation of African Athletics, Kalkab Malbon, met in Cairo last week to discuss moving the championships to the Teslim Balogun Stadium in Lagos. The event had been delayed 3 times before Nigeria agreed to host the championships, which should have taken place in 2020. Before being postponed by a year due to COVID-19. Meanwhile, in South Africa, Caster Semenya, who was denied an opportunity to win a third consecutive Olympic 800 meters gold, will now attempt to qualify for the Tokyo Games over 5,000 meters. She will run in a meeting in Durban, where she must improve her personal best over the distance to be able to go to the Olympics in 2 months' time. The 30-year-old South African is banned from competing in any race from 400 meters to a mile after World Athletics ruled in 2018 that in order to ensure fair competition, women with high natural testosterone levels must take drugs to reduce them to compete in middle races. Semenya, who refuses to take medication to alter her testosterone levels, has challenged the ruling, but seen several appeals dismissed. The 5,000 meters is therefore her best chance to go to the Tokyo Games. And that's about it for this edition of Nightline Africa Sports. Back to you, Peter.
Thanks a lot, Douglas. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. We'll link up with you again next Sunday for another look at African sports. Nightline Africa Sports. Now let's take a closer look at Africa, the problems, the prospect in time of conflict, in time of peace. Here's 1 month's point of view with Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs. Hello, Dr. Jonah.
Good evening, Africa. It should be appreciated that the political class in Somalia has now reached an agreement to proceed with new elections for the election of a new president of the country. It may be recalled that after the current president had passed his time in February, he has moved on to make arrangements to continue in office by an unconstitutional manner. The opposition was so strong that he had to abandon his efforts, and we are now in a limbo. It was reported that the Prime Minister of Somalia has reached a consensus to hold the election within 60 days. Not much details have been announced as to the nature of the consensus, but from press reports, it would appear that they would return to the indirect method for the selection of a new president. This is very regrettable, because when the effort started to build a foundation for democracy in Somalia, it was understandable that given the turmoil of this time and the instability, that an indirect method was essential. But this has been decades and decades ago, and there are no good reasons why Somalia should still be using the indirect method of the clan method. You cannot build a democracy in any country when it is the clan leaders who are able to decide who the president of a country should be. The people must have a stake on who is the president, and this can only be attained if they themselves are able to participate in the election. This is one reason why many commentators have said that the time has come for the franchise in Somalia to be expanded and to let the people participate fully in the election. Of course, there will be those who will say that with the presence of Al-Shabaab and other rebel groups in and around Somalia, that it would be unrealistic to expect the people of Somalia to proceed to the polls to elect their leaders. But there is no alternative to that. That is why it should be a plan worked out not only by the African Union, but in close cooperation with the Security Council and the Secretary General, that clear understanding be made now that this will be the last election which will be by the indirect method. And whoever emerges as the new president should make a full commitment to start very early to build the necessary foundation for free and fair election in Somalia to elect the next representatives of the government. There should be no alternative to that. And some will say, well, it is not realistic, but look at what's happening in Somalia. Forget about the Al-Shabaab threats. Somalia itself is faced with peacekeepers' fatigue. Those providing troops to Somalia are beginning to ask themselves, how long more should we stay? Somalia itself is beginning to have problems with some of its neighbors, for example, like with Kenya. So it is in the interest of all that we start now to build a firm and sure democratic base in Somalia. It has gone for too long when the people of Somalia had a say as who should be the government. And this, I believe, is what the Security Council and the African Union should insist on as they embrace this new consensus about an election of the new president of Somalia. I thank you.
That was One Man's Point of View, a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs.
Brown skin girl, Your skin just like pearls. The best thing in the world.
And it's Sunday on Nightline Africa. This is the time we get to relax and reflect. A flashback with music from the continent.
The best thing in the world.
I never treated you for anybody else singing.
She says she really grew up poor like me. Don't believe in nothing but the Almighty. Just a little jeans and a pure whitey. She never dreamed forever be nobody wifey. Yeah. She well, I mean, I'm pretty, but your heart is a maze. Play you like a villain, cause she caught in a way. Tonight, I am walking away. 9 to 5, mine and I grind. Yeah, yeah. Tonight, I might fall in love. Depending on how you hold me. I'm glad that I'm calming down. Can't let no one come control me. Keep dancing and call it love. She fights it by falling slowly. If ever you are in doubt, remember what mama told me. Brown skin girl, your skin just like pearls. Your back against the world. I never tried you for anybody else. A brown skin girl, your skin just like pearls. The best thing in all the world. I never tried you for anybody else.
Like a trophy when Naomi's walking. She need an Oscar for that pretty dark skin. Pretty like Lupita when the camera's closing. Drip broke the levee when my Kelly's rolling. I think tonight she might pray her brakes. Melanin too dark to throw her shade. She minds her business and winds her waist. Go like 24K. Okay.
Tonight I might fall in love. Depending on how you hold me. I'm glad that I'm calming down. Can't let no one come control me. Keep dancing and call it love. She fighting but falling slowly. If ever you are in doubt, remember what mama told me. Brown skin girl, your skin just like pearls. You're back against the world. I never tried you for anybody else. A brown skin girl, your skin just like pearls.
Have you looked in the mirror lately? Wish you could trade eyes with me.
Because
there's complexities in complexion, but your skin is glow like diamonds.
Dig me like the earth, you be giving birth to everything alive, baby, know your worth.
I love everything about you, from your nappy curls to every single curve, your body natural.
Same skin that was broken, be the same skin taking over. Most things are to focus. When you're in the room, they notice you.
Notice you.
Cause you're beautiful. Ooh. Yeah, you're beautiful. Ooh. Them and them gon' fall in love with you in all of your glory. Your skin is not only dark, it shines and it tells your story. Keep dancing, they can't control.
Are the words of my mother. As I'm getting old, even now I remember. So I'm packing all my tools. I'm going back at home. A young girl like me shouldn't be caught with an old school fool. He told me he was a banker, not knowing bank robber. This man is a gangster, bukum bankum boxer. Oh sorry I no pa, but I'm bobo down boy. It drew where we are. Can it gun junk home? Now it beats me every night and day. My mission is to want me, but I didn't wanna know. My mission, my mission, my mission. picking up the here, mama. Picking up the here, papa. And then quada yaba. Social media neda. Better than I have bob, papa. Better than I in your dopa. Nancy Wakodana would be a wokotania, was here, bo. He told me he was a banker. No knowing bankrupt. This man is a gangster. Bukum bankum boxer. I'm sorry, I know pa. But I'm Bobo Dambo. A dream we are. Shaka nigga jumbo. Now it beats me. Every night and day. My mission is to want me. But I didn't wanna know. My mission. My mission. My mission. My mission. My mission. My mission. One day you will know. These are the words of my mother. As I'm getting old, even now I remember. So I'm packing all my tools. I'm going back home. A young girl like me shouldn't be caught with an old school fool. He told me he was a banker, not knowing bank robber. This man is a gangster, bukum bangum boxer. Now he debits me every night and day. My mission. Used to want me, but I didn't wanna know. Mami show, mami show, mami show, mami show, mami show, mami show.
Sunday music spot. Hope you enjoy the music from Nightline Africa here, the English service of the Voice of America in Washington. Nightline Africa comes to you from the English service of the Voice of America. Hope you enjoy the program tonight. As you know by now, we are on air on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC. From the Nightline Africa team, Managing Editor Bill Eagle, Reporter Douglas Impuga, and Producer Saida Handoon, we say thanks for joining us. And remember, as the elders say, an elephant does not die of one broken rib. I'm your host, Peter Clotet, in Washington. Good evening, Africa.